proceed with the next case, which would be Pablo Negrete Rodriguez versus Keisler. Ms. Malini Poderman.
May it please the court. My name is Maria Baldini Poderman, and I represent Pablo Negrete Rodriguez. Main issues present before the court today. The first involves whether Mr. Negrete's conviction for unlawful use of a weapon by a felon, essentially a possessory offense, under Illinois statute, is an offense described in 18 U.S.C. 922 G1 and therefore an aggravated felony under INA section 101A43EII. The second issue that is present in this case, if the court does not resolve the aggravated felony issue in Mr. Negrete's favor, is whether or not he was eligible for simultaneous grants of relief under INA section 212C and cancellation of removal. I would first like to address the board's decision in Mr. Negrete's case in the motion to reconsider, which involved a request that the board reverse its case known as Vasquez Muniz number 2, which was the main case present in the motion to reconsider. In Vasquez Muniz 2, the board reversed its prior published precedent from Vasquez Muniz 1, in which the board had held that an unlawful use of a weapon by a felon under a California statute was not an aggravated felony because the California statute did not possess the third element of 18 U.S.C. 922 G1, which is that the possession be in or affect interstate or foreign commerce. In Vasquez Muniz 2, the Board of Immigration Appeals held that that third element was not required. The board's interpretation is not entitled to deference, as it involved an interpretation of a federal criminal statute. This is really a case involving a strict application of the categorical approach. INA section 101A43EII specifically references 18 U.S.C. 922 G1. It describes an aggravated felony offense as an offense described in section 922 G1 of Title 18. Under the categorical approach, as enunciated by this court in Bazan Reyes, Gonzalez Gomez, and also by the Supreme Court in Leocal versus Ashcroft and Lopez versus Gonzalez, this court must first review the federal statute specifically referenced in the INA aggravated felony definition and compare it to the state statute to determine the elements of the federal definition and the federal criminal offense, and to see whether or not the state elements for the same offense for which the alien was convicted match up. In this case, the statute under which Mr. Negrete was convicted, the third element is clearly missing. The Illinois statute defines unlawful use of a weapon as the unlawful possession of a firearm by someone who has been convicted of a felony offense. 18 U.S.C. 922 G1 is similar, but again, it has the third element, which requires that the possession be in or affect interstate or foreign commerce. Clearly, the statute under which Mr. Negrete was convicted does not contain that third element.
Isn't that only to gain federal jurisdiction over that crime?
Your Honor, that is what the Castillo-Rivera case held, the Ninth Circuit's decision, on which the government relies in its Vasquez Muniz 2 decision and in its briefs before this court. However, if Congress had intended to create a generic offense for possession of a firearm by a felon, it could have said so, similar to what it did when it defined sexual abuse of a minor, murder, perjury, forgery, or any of the other aggravated felony definitions, which it did not tie to a specific statute. In this case, however, Congress clearly stated under INA 101A43EII that it was referencing 18 U.S.C. 922 G1. So we submit to this court that that third element is actually required. And as we pointed out in our brief, there are Indiana, Illinois, and Wisconsin statutes under which an alien could be prosecuted and convicted, which do have an element requiring possession in or affecting interstate commerce. So contrary to the government's arguments that there would only be very few, if any, statutes under which an alien could be convicted by state law and therefore constitute an aggravated felony, we have demonstrated some statutes which do comply. And again, Congress could have written a broad generic definition for possession of a firearm by a felon, but it chose not to. Instead, this court should give effect to each term as it's referenced in the INA and to the statutes.
Well, I guess you're saying it's not even a necessary element. If the federal government could have charged it without it, or at least you think it could, or did other crimes.
Your Honor, the state court, the state jurisdiction could have prosecuted Mr. Negrete under a different state statute, has it chosen to, which would have contained the element of being in or affecting interstate commerce.
And it's almost incidental. It's if it's true in other crimes, I don't know the ones you identified as far as being able to charge it in federal court without interstate commerce element. I guess what you were saying is they probably could have charged. The law wouldn't even need this by comparison. And I never knew why it was there anyway, you know, if we want to know the truth, would I look at it. But nevertheless, that's what they do. And it's very tangential, as you know. It's almost nothing. And you have to prove that element.
Well, Your Honor, it is true. If the state had wanted to turn Mr. Negrete over to the federal authorities to prosecute him, if they had found that third element was met, the state could have chosen to do so, and he would have been possibly convicted under federal law. But in this case, he wasn't. He was convicted under a state statute, and mirroring the state statute to the federal statute, 18 U.S.C. 922 G1, the two statutes do not match up. And we ask that this court reverse the board's decision, finding that Mr. Negrete has been convicted of an aggravated felony.
Bottom line, are you saying that the state court law has to be identical to the federal law?
Your Honor, I'm saying that the elements of the offense under state law must be identical to the elements under federal law, where Congress has specifically tied a federal criminal statute to a particular subdivision of the aggravated felony definition in this case.
So it must be identical, not just the equivalent.
Equivalent, Your Honor, as in, or identical, are similar to...
You're saying the same crime would have to be chargeable in federal court.
In order to have a conviction constitute...
To be included, it would have to have been chargeable in federal court. Have to have the same elements.
Yes, Your Honor. It would have had to have had the same elements as what the federal statute contains. And in the Gonzalez-Gomez case, which had also been at issue in Mr. Negrete's case, this court had previously held that you look at the federal definition of the criminal statute and you compare it to the state definition.
But isn't the language of interstate commerce jurisdictional language? In other words, what would be the reason for a state court to require this type of federal jurisdictional element in defining its own state crimes?
Your Honor, several of the statutes that we did identify in our brief clearly demonstrate that a state offense can have the element of affecting interstate commerce. For example, 720 ILCS 524-3.5C prohibits the unlawful purchase of a firearm where the person intentionally provided false or misleading information on U.S. Department of Treasury transaction form. That transaction form specifically requires that the transferee of the firearm certify that he's not prohibited by federal law from transporting or shipping a firearm in interstate or foreign commerce or receiving a firearm that has been shipped or transported in interstate commerce. That is specifically in the Illinois statute. That is one example.
Form,
I'm sorry, sir?
Federal form? Did you describe a federal form?
It's a federal form that is directly referenced in the Illinois statute itself. And so therefore, because the Illinois statute refers to the federal law and incorporates the element of interstate commerce, this is one example of how Mr. Negrete could meet the definition of 18 U.S.C. 922 G1 to have a conviction that would fall underneath the aggravated felony definition at 101A43EII. But he was not convicted under this particular provision, Your Honor, and therefore he should not be found to be convicted of an aggravated felony. In order to be deportable for an aggravated felony offense, he has to actually be convicted of the offense. If this court were to find that Mr. Negrete has been convicted of an aggravated felony, then we ask that this court consider the argument regarding whether or not he is statutorily eligible for a simultaneous grant of cancellation of removal and 212C under the Act. In this case, Mr. Negrete was clearly eligible for cancellation of removal prior to the board's issuance of its Yanez decision and also prior to its reversal of the first Vasquez-Muniz decision. Following that, he became ineligible under the board's precedent.
Isn't it sort of hard to maintain that he could rely on the first Vasquez-Muniz case when he pled guilty to being a felon in possession when his plea predated that decision by low so many years?
Yes, Your Honor, that is true. However, until the first Vasquez-Muniz decision came out, there was no precedent stating that somebody convicted of such an offense was an aggravated felon. Yeah, I see that my time is up at this point. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Zanfordino?
Good morning. May it please the Court, Richard Zanfordino for the respondent. There's a number of statutes at issue here, so let me try and just back up just a little bit here. We have a petitioner who was a state felon, convicted of a state felony. He's later convicted of unlawful use of a weapon, and because of that charge, he's charged under a new statute, to it being a felon who's convicted of a firearm offense. The INA provides for and allows aliens to be considered aggravated felons if they're convicted of an offense described in the federal equivalent of that section. Now, I want to just touch on a theme here, which is the INA uses different terms in defining aggravated felony. The aggravated felony definition is over 20 different subsections of ways of describing someone as an aggravated felon. Within the INA itself, some of the aliens may be found to be aggravated felons if they are convicted of an offense defined in, but others, as in this case, if they are described by. The Ninth Circuit recognized that using the term defined in for certain aliens, such as the alien in the Lopez case, where he was convicted of an offense that was defined as a controlled substance trafficking offense, is a much narrower definition, whereas Congress, when they use the term described by, they've opened the net wider. Petitioner's case rises and falls on the question of whether or not the Illinois conviction for unlawful use of a firearm by a felon is described in the federal statute. In reaching its decision, the board simply followed its own precedent, Vasquez-Muniz II. The board looked at the aggravated felony definition itself. The Supreme Court in Lopez pointed out that context is important when evaluating statutory terms. The aggravated felony definition, while long, the penultimate sentence points out that the definition of an aggravated felony applies to federal, state, or foreign convictions. The board concluded that there would be very few, if any, foreign convictions that would have an interstate commerce requirement in the United States. The board also noted within the INA itself, there's a separate section in the INA itself. It's at 241A4B2, which is at 8 USC 1231A4B2. That section allows the Attorney General to remove aliens from the United States prior to the conclusion of their prison sentence, except for aliens in state custody because of the aggravated felony definition in question here. In fact, for one board member in Vasquez-Muniz II, that subsection alone was enough to cause him to reverse himself. He was in the majority of Vasquez-Muniz I, that subsection was not considered. And in his concurrence, he pointed out that that alone was enough, that to consider it only for federal convictions where there was a jurisdictional requirement would read out and render moot that subsection.
Can you tell me this? How common is it that federal crimes and state crimes are described almost identically but for an interstate commerce requirement? In other words, you know, do the questions raised here arise in many other contexts, or is that an unfair question for you?
I would be supposing, if I gave you any answer, Your Honor, in my experience, it hasn't come up a lot. And I think the reason that I feel comfortable at least representing to the court that it doesn't come up that often is because there hasn't been that much litigation on this subsection. I would point out that the INA itself uses the definition defined by under certain sections of the aggravated felony definition and described by under others within the same aggravated felony definition. To read them as petitioners asking this court to read them is to give the different words the exact same meaning. The board also was moved by the inclusion of foreign law violations within the aggravated felony definition. And again, recognizing that foreign offenses typically will not involve an interstate commerce requirement in the United States. Finally, the board turned to the Ninth Circuit Castillo decision, which had come up, and recognized that the Ninth Circuit's rationale was proper, that they had recognized that to read the phrase described in to mean the same thing as defined by would thwart Congress's intent to cast a wider net and seek out more aliens who had been convicted of gun crimes, who were felons. Not every alien convicted of a gun crime will be deportable as an aggravated felon, only those with prior felony convictions.
Kind of a sad case, isn't it? So many years ago.
So many years ago, Your Honor. Although I would say that in this case it's not as sad as some of the others we see because the criminal history here is so long. We have crimes that range, I think, over nearly two decades, from robbery, assault.
Crimes are old, you know. He never had to do any prison time, did he?
I don't believe he did, Your Honor.
No.
And it's the one human face that brings out in immigration cases that every case does have its own story. And
turned his life around in the last 10 years.
And Congress has mandated that aliens with these crimes would still need to be returned to their home country. In fact, in laying out the aggravated felony definition, using the term defined in does occur in the drug trafficking sense, in the gun trafficking sense, but described by occurs with offenses relating to money laundering, firearms, demands for ransom, child pornography, human trafficking. This was an attempt by Congress to widen the net and obtain more aliens who had committed offenses that were described by, not defined in. The theme that petitioner has raised this court is to read the two terms identically. We'd also take issue with, turning to the petitioner's request that the board could not have overruled its prior decision, that it should have issued a notice and comment rulemaking rather than simply issuing another decision reversing itself. Vasquez-Muniz 1 was law for less than 14 months before Vasquez-Muniz 2 came out. The rationale of Vasquez-Muniz 1 barely survived 4 months before it was overruled by the Ninth Circuit. The Supreme Court has recognized that administrative agencies are free to adjudicate cases either through legislation or adjudication. Here they chose adjudication. Petitioner's reliance argument fails because the statute at issue never changed. This is not a St. Cyr type situation where a statute has been passed that repeals something or a new statute has come into play. This is simply interpreting existing law. Finally, the petitioner's reliance on NLRB versus Wayne and transportation is not reliable because, again, any reliance in the five factors that were laid out by this court simply aren't present where we don't have an abrupt departure. We have a theory of law that just didn't survive that long at all. The Board of Immigration Appeals, in reversing itself in this published precedent, its first decision was a 10-6 decision. Of those 10 members who were in the majority, 7 plus the additional concurrence for a total of 8 were in the majority of the new decision. This was not some abrupt departure. This was an attempt by the board to get it right. They did so in a published case, and from the first day petitioner set foot in immigration court, Vasquez Muniz 2 had been published. Petitioner's remaining arguments regarding combining cancellation of removal with 212C, we would suggest, are moot because he has been convicted of an aggravated felony, which prevents him from getting cancellation of removal. The first form of relief he sought, which was Section 212C relief, is available for some of those offenses. It's just not available for his firearms offense because of the statutory counterpart test, which I will not delve into at this point. We would therefore request that this court follow the uphold the board's decisions and affirm the board's decision to find there was no relief available to petitioner and ask that these petitions be denied.
Okay, thanks very much. Is this time expired? You done? Okay, I guess that completes it then. That completes that argument. This case will be taken under advisement.